Good morning. We welcome all of you this morning to the house of the Lord. We're grateful to see all of you taking time to worship our Lord, and we welcome our guests and visitors this morning. I have a couple announcements this morning. First of all, for the worship service, today we're going to be doing two things. We're going to be having a presentation of the Bibles for some of our kids who are moving up into a higher grade during Sunday school. So we're going to have the presentation of the Bibles right after the invocational prayer. And then right after that, we'll have the children's story. And for the children who have backpacks, bring them up for the children's story, because we're going to have a special time of blessing of the backpack, since tomorrow is the first day of school. We want to send our kids off with the blessings of our Lord in the church. So we're going to have that following the presentation of the Bibles. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Earl. Earl has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. It's that time of the year again. The choir starting in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. September 4th, we're having our first practice. So if you can sing and would like to sing in the choir, please come out. And if you can sing and you're not in the choir, I'll be looking for you sometime to talk to you. Okay, we really need people in the praise team. We had a big praise team before, but now we have dwindled numbers. So especially if you've sung in the praise team in the past, please come out to sing in the praise team. Okay, thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you, Earl. A couple other announcements I have. In your bulletins, you'll see about Rally Day. Rally Day is going to be September 15th. We always like to prepare for that. And this year, our speaker is Mike Borden. Mike Borden was our speaker a couple years ago for revival services. And we're very grateful to have Mike provide our message for Rally Day, and his wife agreed to have a message during the Sunday school hour. So the plan is to have our adult classes come in here for our Sunday school hour during September 15th. And the other thing, if you see in your bulletins, next Sunday, I've never done this before. We're going to see how it goes. But we're going to be observing Labor Day, and my sermon is going to be about, the topic of labor and work and how it connects with the message of God. And if you feel led, you can come to church. Feel welcome to come to church in your work outfit, wherever you work. Just come on and come in your work outfit. I'm not going to have you stand up here and explain what your work is or anything like that. You don't have to worry about that. But we just kind of want to see how that goes. So I invite you to do that next Sunday. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's all stand as we sing our opening songs of praise. We're grateful this morning to have the praise team singing our opening songs of praise. Shine, Jesus, shine, and open the eyes of my heart. Would you stand, please, as we sing this together?
Now
Join me in the call to worship, a responsive call to worship this morning, taken from Psalms. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How majestic is the Lord Most High. How mighty is a great sovereign over all the earth. Sing praises to God. Sing psalms in God's honor. God reigns over the nations. God is exalted over all. Praise the Lord, all people. Praise God's everlasting name. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, for you are our holy God. You are sovereign over all the earth. There's nothing too hard for you. And God, we just thank you for this privilege, this opportunity to worship you this morning in the house of the Lord. We just ask right now, Lord, that you would just take over this worship service. Help us to know, Lord, that this is your time with us. We pray that everything that we do this morning, Lord, will bring honor and glory to you and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we'll have the presentation of the Bibles.
Can we have Cameron Furman? Ella Heisey? Brantley Hoagland? Charlotte Singer? And Kaylee. Thank you.
This time, the children can come forward, and if you have your backpacks, please bring them up for the children's story. Following the, we'll have the blessing of the backpacks following the children's story.
All right, bring them all up. Put them all up here. There we go. We got some nice looking ones. Look at that. All right, so when does school start? Tomorrow. Who's happy that school is starting tomorrow? You are? Okay, we got a few. Raise your hand if you're not happy school is starting tomorrow. We got one. What about the rest of our second row? Yeah, not happy. Okay. Because as you get older, there is more responsibility. Oh, we got Kennelins too. Okay. So, does anybody worry about anything about school starting? Does anybody have a worry at all? No? Sometimes you may worry about not having a friend in your class, that you might get too much homework. What if I'm not able to finish my homework? Stuff like that. Sometimes we worry about things when it comes to school. But Brooke is going to read us from Psalms chapter 68, verse 19.
Praise be to the Lord, to God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens.
So if we ever have a worry when we're at school, what did that scripture say? Praise be to God, for he daily bears our burdens. And a burden is like a worry. Now, if we look at this, this book bag has all of Benjamin's school books in it that he has to do for the year. He's starting K-4. All right, Benji, stand up. Can you carry this book bag? Hold it up. Is it heavy?
Yeah.
Yep, it's heavy. Look at that. And that's how our burdens can be sometimes. If we have all this worry and we don't give it to God, it can be extremely heavy. So we need to do like our scripture says, praise be to God, for he takes away all our burdens and he puts it on himself. We don't need to have all this heaviness going around. So if you're in school this year and you start to worry about something like, oh, can I pass this test? We just pray and give it to who? God, yes. Say it louder. We give it to who?
God.
God, yes. All right, Pastor Marty's going to come up. And he is going to pray for all these backpacks that are up here. Okay, so everybody, put your hand here in the center on a backpack.
Okay, everybody got your hands on the backpack? I'm going to send God's blessings on this. Okay, let us pray. God, we thank you for the blessings of these kids who are up here, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that they made this commitment, the sacrifice, to bring their backpacks to the house of the Lord this morning. And God, we just pray that you would bless these backpacks, Lord, as we begin the school year. We pray for these kids, Lord, that they would be led by you as they begin school. We also lift up our teachers and all the ones on staff at school, Lord, that you would guide them in their service. We pray for a really good year of school. We pray, oh God, your protection upon these kids in their learning. And we pray, Lord, that our schools, Lord, would reflect, Lord, what you want for your church. We thank you for these kids this morning, and we give these backpacks to you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Children can go to Children's Church this morning. Let us turn to our offertory statement this morning. As we prepare for our offerings, let us read the words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. Let's read this in unison. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your gifts that you have given us, your heavenly gifts, Lord. We thank you that you are the God of all creation, that you've given us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are head of the church. We thank you for this church here, and we pray for the needs of this ministry here, Lord, as we give our offerings. We pray, Lord, that you would use these offerings to build your kingdom, that you would lead us as a church as we use these, Lords, to serve you. We pray that we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, the praise team can come forward as they sing our offertory song of praise, worthy of worship, and the ushers can come forward as we take our morning offering.
Worthy of all the blood, soul, sleep, and sea.
We want to thank the praise team this morning for providing our music and for Megan and Ricky. Thank you very much for our songs this morning. In your bulletins, you'll see an insert that has our prayer requests. And right now, I think prayer is very much needed in our society, in our country. So let's come to our God in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for this time of worship where we come to you, Lord, and we come to you, Lord, before you with humble hearts, because, Lord, we know that you are the one who is worthy. You are the one, Lord, who controls all the affairs of our world and our country. And right now, Lord, we lift up our country right now and everything that's going on in our country. We pray for leadership in our country right now with the president and the members of Congress. Lord, just instill in their hearts a desire to seek your values. And we as a nation, help us, Lord, to know that we need to seek the values, Lord, that you only you can provide, the values that we find in your word, the values that you provide through your Holy Spirit. And help us to know, Lord, that we need to be truly one nation that is under God. And God, help us also to know that our country is provided so much with families. Families, Lord, are so much a part of our foundation. We pray, Lord, that you would guide every family this morning. Help us to see that values begin in the home. They also begin in the church. And we pray that we would be committed to our families. Through husbands and wives and children, help us know, Lord, that we need to instill those values that you have through your word. We also pray at this time for the church here, Myerstown Church of the Brethren. We thank you so much for this church that you have provided. And Lord, as we begin the school year, we know that choir is beginning, and so we pray your blessings upon Earl and all those who are involved in leading the choir, and we pray, Lord, that you would guide us as we begin choir this year. We also pray for the activities that are happening in the church for pumpkin rolls. We thank you for that beginning, for that ministry. We pray, Lord, that the pumpkin rolls, Lord, would be a success, Lord, that there would be people coming out for that. We also lift up our disaster ministries, Lord, that's coming up the end of September. Pray that we would be committed, Lord, to the ministry of the disaster ministries that we have here in our district. Lord, at this time, we always pray for a church in our district. And this week, Lord, we're praying for Quakertown Church of the Brethren. We lift up the Quakertown Church and the ministry there. We lift up the pastor and the ministry that they have. We just pray your protection upon that church and your guidance as a minister. We pray that you lead us now as we look into your word. Help us to know, Lord, that we as a church need to be united in seeking direction from your word and applying it to our lives. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look at your holy word. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to this morning's scripture text. We're looking at Luke 13, 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This morning's text is story of Jesus when he was in the synagogue and he does a wonderful thing. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" When he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we know that we have been hearing a lot of bad news when you turn on the news. But this morning, I want us to focus on the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is what we see in this morning's story of Jesus. It is good news. And whenever I read scripture, the parallels to the church today are simply amazing. Because whenever we read scripture, there always is a message for us. There's always a message that's tied to scripture. And this morning's scripture text is no exception to that. In today's text, Jesus does something miraculous and good. And the multitudes of people rejoiced in what Jesus did. And we as believers should always rejoice when we see God doing something good. Let's look what happened. We find Jesus teaching in a synagogue, and that was, you know, popular. Jesus was asked many times to preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So you might say it was kind of a normal Sabbath day worship. But out of nowhere, a woman comes into the synagogue who had a sickness and infirmity for 18 years. Now, this was quite unusual because it was kind of unusual for a woman, let alone one who is sick, to be in the synagogue. But here she was. She came into the synagogue, bent over, lame, sick for 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, he laid his hands on her and heals her of the sickness. She suddenly straightens up her body. She got healed. And she glorified God for her healing. And the scripture says the multitudes of people rejoiced. You couldn't ask for a better outcome of someone who needs to be healed. And it happened in God's house of worship. And as I thought about that, I thought of all the people who were there in the synagogue. I'm sure when they went home that day after worship, they had something to talk about because God just showed up that morning. God showed up. But whenever God does something good, old Satan, he always sometimes makes his attack and puts a downer on everything. How did this attack come about? Well, the ruler of the synagogue,
attacks Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. This powerful leader just totally ignored the great miracle that Jesus did out of tradition. When God does some great things in the church, you can be sure that there's going to be some kind of downer. However, when God does a great thing, we need to focus on the miracle and not the downer. We should never dwell on Satan's attack. God's going to be glorified. In this text, even though the ruler of the synagogue attacked Jesus, it didn't change the miracle that Jesus did for this woman. Even though the ruler attacked Jesus, it did not change the miracle that Jesus did for this woman. That's an important point in your insert. It didn't change how the woman glorified God. She continued to glorify God. It didn't change how the multitudes of people rejoiced for all the glorious things that Jesus did. So God was glorified in the end. So what happened? What happened that day in the synagogue? And why would the ruler attack Jesus for doing something good? Well, they were trying to trap Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly trying to trap Jesus, to discredit him by bringing up the law of Moses. There are arguments over the law. And so you might say, why did the ruler of the synagogue act in this way? Why couldn't he rejoice in the miracle of this healing? Well, to use the cliche, the ruler of the synagogue was just doing his job. His job was to oversee and supervise everything that happens in a worship service. He was to supervise all matters pertaining to the synagogue, and part of his responsibilities as the head guy was to choose certain leaders to offer prayers and to preach and explain the scripture for each meeting. That's what the ruler of the synagogue did. But here is the difference. That Sabbath day that the woman is here, Jesus was the man who was teaching and preaching. And Jesus was not just any man who preached. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7:29 that Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew 7:29. Jesus had authority from God. The people marveled over him and what he could do for God. And no scribe, no Pharisee, no Sadducee had that same authority from God to heal this woman like Jesus did. And this drove the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes crazy. Whenever Jesus would show up in a synagogue to preach and teach, things changed. Jesus says, he didn't come to get rid of the law of Moses. He came to fulfill it. And that's really what he did. When Jesus shows up in the synagogue, religious traditions change. Not to cause chaos, but because that's why God sent him. And whenever Jesus would show up, the critics say that there needs to be order. And in order for that to happen, they believe Jesus needed to be destroyed. And that's why there is so much chaos. We also see that the Sadducees had a strategy of trapping Jesus. They would back up their arguments by saying, well, doesn't the law of Moses say that there should be no work done on the Sabbath? So how did Jesus respond to the ruler? That would be kind of a tough one. But Jesus responded to the ruler. He responded to this accusation by explaining to them. And he simply said to themselves, look at yourselves. Okay? Look at yourselves when it comes to work on the Sabbath. You Sadducees, you also work on the Sabbath. Therefore, you're hypocrites. But I believe Jesus gave them a better explanation. Look at verse 16 of Luke 13. And Jesus just tells him, you know, just think about this. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Notice what Jesus did. He told the people, think of it. Jesus was telling them, think about what this woman needs. Now try to put yourself in this woman's shoes. 18 years is a long time to be sick. I don't know what that's like, but it must be terrible. To have an ongoing sickness for 18 years, and I don't know of anybody who wants to be sick for 18 years. Afflicted. More than likely, no doctor had a cure for her. Otherwise, it wouldn't have lasted that long. No one seems to know what was wrong. And when you think about it, that seems to be a pattern today. I don't know if you noticed this, but it seems like today more and more people are getting sick with no explanation. Did you ever notice that? With our illnesses today, they're getting very complicated. Doctors don't really have an answer. The pattern is, and if someone has an illness, you go through all these tests and tests to kind of rule things out. But no one can seem to get down to the bottom of the sickness. That's what happened here with this woman. And so what happens is that this woman just ends up living with the sickness. So that's when you and I seek the power of the Lord for healing and to believe in that when all else fails. Another thing I want us to notice in this text, in this lesson, was that God supernaturally arranged this woman to be in worship the day she was healed. I don't think she was a regular attender of worship. I think God supernaturally placed her there by the grace of God. I don't think it was just a coincidence that she was there. It was by divine appointment. God wanted her there, and God made sure she was there. And I got to think about that, and I think that's why it's important for all of us to come to church, because you never know when God will have a message for you. We never know when God would have a word of encouragement for you to show up. You see, the worship services that we have every Sunday, we need to know that they're being led by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that God has a message for everyone who is here. You're not just here by chance. You just call it your divine appointment while you're here from God. God knows what you and I need, whether it's a healing or a message of encouragement or a calling to serve the church. God wants you here. God wants you here like he wanted the woman to be there in the synagogue. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. Look at verse 17, Luke 13. After Jesus points out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, Sadducees, it says, and when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitudes rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, it might be easy to conclude from this text that, you know, Jesus put all these bad guys in their place, or that Jesus won the argument, but that's not it. Jesus did what? Jesus provided for this woman's spiritual and physical needs. That's the most important thing. What does it say about the gospel message? What does it say for us as a church? What does it say for us who do ministry in the church? The gospel message, the ministry we do in the church, is not about putting people into places or getting even with people or winning an argument. The gospel message is about providing a gospel need for people. Whatever the need is, God says we need to provide for those needs. So we need to ask ourselves, Where is God needed the most in people's lives? Where should we place our focus as a church as we minister to the needs of the people? And in your inserts this morning, I have a question. How are we to reach people for Jesus Christ? How are we to reach people for Jesus Christ? As Jesus reached out to this woman in need, how are we as a church to reach out to other people who need Jesus? Sometimes we need to see what our role is as a church. And there's two passages that I'd like for you to write down in your notes. Romans 12, 5 to 6, and 1 Corinthians 12, 11. Romans 12, 5 to 6, the Apostle Paul describes the ministry of the church. He says, we are a church, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, what Paul is saying is that every believer has a ministry. Every believer in the church has a ministry that's different, but it is of the Holy Spirit. So God equips us, God equips a church in the ministry of the gospel. But ask yourself, is God using you? Is God using I as people of the church to reach out to others? This morning, I want to present to you, and this is in your insert, so I want to present to you five personal styles that God used to reach out to others for Christ in Scripture. One of these styles fits who you are. And they're all taken from the people in the Bible. We got Peter, Paul, the blind man, the Samaritan woman, and Tabitha. And these are all taken from the book that I have, Bill Hybels' book, Becoming a Contagious Christian, is taken from this book. He begins by saying, when it comes to reaching out for others, there's no right way to spread the gospel message. Instead, you need to use a personal style that fits you. First, there's Peter. How did Peter, in his leadership, lead people to Christ? Well, Peter used the direct approach. Peter, as you know, was bold. He was outspoken and direct. Peter would be the one who claimed that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter also said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Peter used that direct approach. And there's some people who need to hear that. There's some people who need to be told that, you know, you can't be saved by Muhammad or any other savior. It's only through Jesus Christ. That was Peter's approach. Now, if you are a Peter, also you need to know that you have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, guide your words, guide your actions, because you need to know the best time when to be direct with someone with grace and love. Second, there's the Apostle Paul's intellectual approach. If you're an intellectual, maybe you're an Apostle Paul reaching people for Christ. Paul was an intellectual. Paul would be the one who would be at the streets on a college campus, and he'd be debating with the college professors, the atheists, and he was the one who stood before the philosophers in Athens, Greece. The philosophers in Athens had this altar that said, you know, to the unknown God. And Paul would do his best to save them through intellectual debate. And Paul would not be afraid to confront these people. And he explained his case for Jesus with evidence and truth. And there are some people, like it or not, There's some people who can be won for Christ through a debate. Now, that's not really my gift. I'm not much of a debater. I can do my best through Scripture. But Paul was good through a debate. But if this style doesn't fit you, look at the next one. The next one is the blind man's testimonial approach to reach people for Christ. The blind man is found in John chapter 9, verse 1 through 34. You don't have to turn there. But the blind man was the man who received his sight by Jesus, but he didn't really explain, he couldn't explain how Jesus healed him. Very interesting. There are people today who are not interested in debate or an argument or winning an argument. Instead, they reach others through their own personal testimony of how Jesus saved them. There are people today who don't want to argue or debate. They would rather hear your story. They'd rather hear your testimony of how God answered your prayer or how the Lord healed you or how you became saved. And they would think, okay, if God can save you, then I'm sure that God can save me. Or maybe you're like the blind man who received his sight by Jesus. And when the Pharisees pressed this man to explain himself how Jesus healed them, he couldn't do it. He couldn't explain it. All he knew was that he was once blind, but now he sees. And he just knows that Jesus healed him. Praise God for that. That was his testimony. The fourth one in your insert, there's the Samaritan woman's approach to reach people for Christ. This is interesting. If you look at John chapter 4, verses 4 through 38, I'm not going to read through that, but this is the Samaritan woman's meeting with Jesus at the well. This is the woman who invited people to come to Christ. She was the one who met Jesus, and she went back to her hometown and told everyone, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. And she says, could this be the Christ? And the Bible says that they all went out of the city and came to Jesus. People wanted to hear her story. Unbelievers wanted to hear her story. So she simply invited them to come, and they accepted Jesus. These people in the Samaritan woman's hometown, they wanted to know Jesus. They wanted to know Jesus as the one who took the time to speak to a foreign woman. They wanted to know the man who spoke to a foreign woman and accepted her for who she was. She didn't have any magical power for reaching Christ. She simply wanted people to see Jesus for themselves, which is what many of us can do. How hard is it for you and I to invite someone to church? George Barna, a church researcher, did a poll, and he said that 25% of adults in the United States would go to church if a friend would invite them. If a friend would invite them. That can be a great, great way of bringing people in church by simply inviting them. It's not threatening. You just do what the Samaritan woman said. Just come and see. Come and see how God can change you, how you can meet Jesus Christ. Fifth, there is Tabitha's service approach in reaching people for Christ. Tabitha is found in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. God used her to lead people to Christ because she was a woman who was, the Bible says, full of good works and charitable deeds. She made things for people. That was her gift. She sowed. And some people get satisfaction for simply helping people. These are the people who would rather be behind the scenes, helping others. They're not really comfortable being in a spotlight. That's fine, as long as Jesus gets the credit. And so she got her way of witnessing through her own works and service. And that is a great witnessing tool, as we know in the Church of the Brethren. Church of the Brethren is known also for our service and reaching out to others. So all of these styles that are listed this morning, and there's more too, but all these styles are effective styles for reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I would ask that you take these examples and see which one best fits you. We are all to rejoice at what God is able to do. And like the multitudes of people who praise God for what he did, I believe we are a church that can do the same. I believe we're a church that has many gifted people here for ministry. And may we take this honor of serving our Lord and thank him for winning people to Jesus. May it ever be so here this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the many ways you reach out to people in need. We thank you for our Savior, who can do miraculous savings and healings, Lord, and help us to know, Lord, when that happens, it's all from you. I also pray for the church here that we would take up this challenge of seeing how we can use the style that you have given us through your Holy Spirit to reach others. And may we do this, Lord, in humble obedience to the leading of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I forgot to mention, this morning's benediction is going to be sung by the praise team. The praise team is going to be singing Sanctuary. As we leave here today, we're going to hear the song of Sanctuary. But let's all stand as we sing our closing song of praise, Word of God Speak. I invite the praise team to come forward.
In the middle.